All right. I'm sorry, Mason, but I can't yell it, man. All right, Romans chapter 5. Last week, I looked at faith's essentiality and benefit. Faith is essential. And faith is of great benefit to God's people. Remember, Paul's words here in Romans chapter 5 have definite and precise flow. If you don't see it, it's not because it's not there, it's just because you don't see it.
There you go.
I have to admit that some parts of chapter 5 are difficult, especially that which you find in the parentheses in the latter part of chapter 5 where Paul's talking about Adam and Christ.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, there is definite and precise flow here. Paul declares why faith is essential and how faith is of great benefit. And then he builds upon the truth of that. That's in verses 1 through 5. That's what we looked at last Sunday. He builds upon that with these words, 4, verse 6. 4. So let's read it that way. Start in verse 1 again. Therefore, being justified by faith. And let me stop just a moment to say, there is more to justification than justification by faith.
Yes, sir.
Some people think justification is only by faith. That's not so.
No, you're right.
But there is justification by faith.
Amen.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, that is the grace of peace, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, it's not just that. That's the essential nature of faith. But it's not just that, he says, but we glory in tribulations also. But as I said last Sunday, not in some fatalistic morbid, or some, I should say some morbid fatalism.
Yeah.
We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience works what? Experience. And I'm adding the word worketh, but it applies to all. And experience works hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So there is faith being essential and faith's great benefit. But now he builds upon that because he says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, and the whole indication there is unbelieving, corrupt, defiled sinners.
Yes, sir.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified, and he introduces this phrase, by his blood. Now he's spoken of it before.
Oh, yeah.
He's spoken of it before in chapter 3. But now he says this, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, and not just that, he says, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the reconciliation. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time. It's unfortunate that they translated the word atonement. Christ did not make atonement. He made reconciliation.
Yeah.
To atone is to cover. He didn't cover. He put away.
That's right.
Yeah. Atonement is an Old Testament word that relates to the animal sacrifices.
Exactly.
Christ Jesus didn't make atonement. He reconciled. And if you have the ability to check the Greek, you'll see the word there is not atonement. It is reconciliation. Think of it. Paul said this, faith that justifies also brings peace with God.
Yes.
That's from here up there. Faith doesn't bring peace from God up there down to here. Faith is for our benefit.
Yes.
Faith is not us proving to God anything about ourselves.
Exactly.
Faith is the gift of God that He gives to an individual. And when the gospel is preached, that faith will respond in believing.
Yes. Exactly.
Faith that justifies also brings peace with God. And no one will ever have peace with God from here to there without faith. No one, because therefore be justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, he says, that same faith trusts God, and it loves God even in trying circumstances, because it knows. It knows because the love of God is shed abroad. I mean, that's a big word, you know, a big phrase, shed abroad in our hearts. By the Holy Ghost which is given unto us, we know that God Almighty has a purpose in everything that happens to us in this life.
Amen.
We might not know what that purpose is.
Exactly.
But we know He has a wise, sovereign purpose toward His people. So the faith that justifies also brings peace with God. That same faith trusts God and loves God even in trying circumstances. It doesn't say it doesn't say the love of circumstances is shed abroad in your heart. It says the love of God is shed abroad in your heart.
Amen. Exactly.
You may be very vexed by the circumstances,
but
you're not vexed by God.
There you go.
Faith isn't.
Yeah.
Faith isn't.
Exactly.
If any part of the believer is vexed with God, it's the old man. It's not faith. It's not that. It's not the new nature. It's not faith. It's none of that. Also, thirdly, but this is no great marvel. Or as Paul would put it, this ought to be no great marvel to faith, to the one who believes, because look what God wrought for us in Christ even before we had faith.
Exactly.
Yeah. You see it?
Yes, sir.
And then we read it again. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And much more, He's saying, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were not believers, but when we were what?
Yeah.
Enemies.
Yeah.
We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled. And the more appropriate phrase, because of the type of word it is in the Greek, is having been.
That's
it's a
right.
past act.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're not being continually reconciled.
Exactly.
We have been reconciled.
Amen.
Much more. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Amen.
First of all, what Paul says here concerning this, and the title of my message is Christ's Efficacious Reconciliation.
Amen.
That is something that is a truth that pseudo-Christianity has no idea about in this day and age.
Right.
None whatsoever. Most of so-called professed Christianity today thinks that Christ made reconciliation possible. Then when you believe, then that reconciliation actually takes place. That is not what Paul teaches here.
That's right.
That is not the teaching of Scripture. That is not the gospel.
Exactly.
There was a time, according to the Apostle Paul, in verses 6 through 11, there was a time when we had no strength.
Amen.
You see that? For when we were yet without, we weren't weak.
No, that's right.
We weren't frail. We had no strength.
Exactly.
Obviously, this is spiritual strength, or the lack
there,
or the total lack thereof.
Yeah.
We had all kinds of physical strength.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You go back and read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We had all kinds of strength to walk according to the course of this world.
Exactly.
Well, all kinds of strength to walk according to the prince of this world. According to our own lusts and flesh. We had all kinds of strength toward that. Yes, what sir. Paul's talking about here is we had no spiritual strength.
Exactly.
There is no divine spark in every human
exactly
being.
Exactly right.
Mm-mm. As Paul will go on to say, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made what? Sinners.
Amen.
Sinners. There was a time when we had no strength. No spiritual strength whatsoever. Free will is a lie.
Exactly.
It's a lie. Our will is not free. It's in bondage to sin.
Exactly.
Free will is nothing more than self-will adorned with a few emotional phrases to try to make man feel better about himself. And it is, as Joe said this morning, it is man's attempt to dethrone the will of God and enthrone man's will.
Yes, sir.
And that is idolatry and rebellion.
Yes.
There was a time when Paul said we had no strength. But look, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Yeah.
Thousands of places, probably even this morning, Mason read that very verse, and yet people really don't know what it's saying. They will talk about Christ dying for the ungodly, but then they teach people, you need to be the best person you can be before God. No, we had no strength. And Christ, secondly, at God's appointed time, He died for, now listen, He died for not believers. He died for what? The ungodly. You see it? For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Even, listen, do not let Calvinism get in the way. It's not God's purpose to save some people who would believe. And Christ died for those believers. Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen. That's right.
Those who would be believers by God's free and reigning grace are by nature in Adam ungodly.
Exactly. That's right.
But this is also true. As long as the person thinks that he or she is outside of that description, that they have no right to believe Christ died for them. Because Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
As long as you think you're a good person, you got no reason to claim the death of Jesus Christ on your behalf.
Exactly.
Do you?
That's right.
You don't. Because it says He died for the ungodly. Well, I'm not ungodly. Then you got no right to believe He died for you.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So there was a time when we had no strength, no spiritual strength whatsoever. John 15 verse 5, our Lord told the disciples, without me ye can do what? N-O-T-H-I-N-G.
Exactly.
Not very little, nothing. And God, at His appointed time, He sent the Son, and at that appointed time, He died for not believers, but the ungodly.
Yes.
To know you're ungodly is not a happy knowledge.
Right.
It doesn't bring nice feelings.
Exactly.
But it does offer hope.
Amen.
Huh? Most of so-called Christianity is, like Earl used to say, you got a bunch of people coming together trying to tell everybody how good they are.
Yep.
We're not good people.
Exactly.
By nature, in and of ourselves, we are ungodly.
Amen.
And all God has to do in His own wisdom is lift His restraint even from the most faithful believer, but just a moment, and our ungodliness will rush forth like a flood.
You're right.
Look at all the examples in Scripture. Look at me.
Yeah.
Look at yourself.
That's it.
Just
you're
lift
right.
His restraint for a moment.
Yeah.
A moment. And according as Paul says here, God did not act as men would. Verses 7 and 8. Did He? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Now the whole point is, Paul's not saying there's actually some righteous people out there. There's actually some good people. But he's comparing men amongst men.
That's right. Yeah.
And he said, for scarcely, it's very rare to find one to die for a righteous man. Yet peradventure for a good man, some might even dare to die. In other words, men may give themselves for a good cause.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we talk about that all the time, don't we? And we honor such things. And there's nothing in and of itself wrong with honoring such sacrifices. Is there? As long as we don't try to teach that it brings acceptance before God.
Exactly. There you go.
But here's the thing. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God's love is not how He feels. Only. I don't know even know feeling this. Okay. Christ felt our infirmities. But it's not just how God feels. God's love is not a feeling. It's how God conducted Himself. But God commended His love toward us. Do you see it? But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't love us because He seen what He would do for us. He loved us and thus did for us what He did do for us. See, do not let our Calvinism get in the way of the truth.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying Calvinism itself teaches that, but some Calvinists have gone to the point where they say, well, God knew who He would give faith to and He loved us based on that. No, He loved us in Christ.
Amen.
And commended that love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
That's an amazing statement. You know, I think, was it, I know God said, was it David, one of the Psalms, said, you thought that I was altogether likened to yourselves? God doesn't conduct Himself like men conduct themselves.
Exactly. Amen.
As a general rule, there may be some exceptions, but as a general rule, the way a man would do something, God does not do it that way.
Exactly.
And in the weightier matters of the law, and there are weightier matters,
oh, yeah.
The Scripture speaks of it, God never conducts Himself as men conduct themselves.
Exactly right.
God does not act as men would act. And number four, then we read the first of Paul's five much mores. So let us park here for just a couple moments. I'll try to be quick. Look, much more then. Do you see it? If you're, in other words, if you're going through a trying circumstance, remember the much more then.
That's right. There you go.
Remember what God did for you before you were a believer.
Yes, sir.
Remember what He did for you in Christ personally. And remember what He did for you in giving you life through His Spirit. Remember what He did for you in sending you the gospel of His Son. And you deserved none of it.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, we deserved His wrath and condemnation.
Oh, yeah.
Much more then, being now justified by His what? Blood.
Yeah.
Blood. I know Martin Luther discovered the truth, or I should say was revealed, more appropriately, was revealed the truth of justification by faith. And that's a good subject. This book speaks about it. But justification by faith would have no meaning whatsoever, would have no validity whatsoever, were we not already justified by His blood.
Amen.
Faith never died for one sin.
Exactly.
Faith never put away one sin.
That's right.
The preaching of the gospel and the believing thereof never died for one sin.
Amen.
Blood had to be shed.
Amen.
That's the foundation
of
justification.
Amen.
Blood had to be shed. And blood was shed.
Amen.
And based upon this shed blood, some certain things were efficaciously wrought. One here is reconciliation.
Amen.
Let's go through it briefly. What is the foundation and the fountain of justification? Faith? No. Blood. 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 In other words, no matter how much faith God may have given a people in this world in time, no matter how much faith He may have given, had Christ's blood not been shed, we still would have died in our sins. That's what I'm talking about. What is the foundation, the fountain, and the foundation of justification? Remember, it's not faith, it's blood. Blood for, that is, because Christ efficaciously wrought reconciliation by his death, so that his resurrection guarantees the salvation of everyone he reconciled.
Yeah.
It says it right here. Now, granted, there are thousands of people who profess to be Christians who will read back that very verse, could hear me preach this very truth, and it just don't dawn. They don't see it. They can't see it. I become angry sometimes when they don't. You ever been that way at somebody? You get real angry at them because they don't see it? But remember where you were one time. You didn't see it either. Why? Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I couldn't see it. I read it, Joe, preached from it, and still couldn't see what it was really saying. But it's not because it's in a code. It's because we're blinded by nature.
Amen.
Look at what he said. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now somebody says, well, he's talking to believers. Even Arminians then will say, well, he's talking to believers. He is, no doubt, and only to believers. But look at what he says to the believers. For if, when we were enemies, that's before we were a believer. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How?
Yeah.
By faith? By repentance? By the preaching of the gospel and the bowing down to it? No! All those things are valid and essential, but that's not the grounds and the fountain of reconciliation. Reconciliation was wrought by his death.
Yes, sir.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, how? By the death of his son.
Amen.
Much more than being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The death reconciled us. Now he's alive to make sure that the reconciliation sticks.
Amen.
Now that's my word.
Yeah.
It's better. He's there to make sure the reconciliation is received.
Yeah.
And not only that, he says, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received. And that's in the active, not... It's, I done forgot the others. There's a tense in the Greek where the person acts as the source. This is in the active sense. It means they're active, but they're active from an outside source.
Yeah.
That's the meaning. There's the other mode or voice, whatever it is. But we still receive. You receive. It don't just come and pour on you. You receive the reconciliation.
Yeah, that's right.
You receive it. Mm-hmm. But you don't receive it so it'll be so. You receive that it is so. You receive that Christ has reconciled a people. That's the difference between the gospel of free reigning grace and the gospel of this world.
Amen. Yeah, you're right.
They teach you believe so you can be reconciled. Scripture teaches believe that you have been reconciled.
Amen.
Receive. How can you receive something that ain't already there, Joe?
Yeah.
By whom we've received the reconciliation. God doesn't ask us, God doesn't call upon us to receive a phantom, to receive possibilities. He's just stated that faith is like this, that whatever God's promised, God's able to perform.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said in chapter 4?
Yeah.
That's the nature of faith. Faith is like this. It knows that whatever God promises, God is able to perform. Well, God says he's already performed reconciliation. We're not believing that he's able to perform it. We believe he did perform
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Now, a person doesn't necessarily have to know that exact detail. But if they're going to believe the Christ of God, they're going to find out it was already. It's an accomplished reconciliation. That's what they're going to be taught. They're going to realize that. Anyone who believes that they can be reconciled by believing hasn't believed the gospel. You hear what I said? Anybody who believes that they can be reconciled by their believing hasn't believed the gospel. So we read this. Much more. You see, this reconciliation wrought in Christ's death is the grounds of no imputation of sin. Go back and look at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. That God, to wit, Paul says, that is to say, that God was, past tense, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them.
Amen.
The non-imputation of sins that comes with believing is again for what? For my benefit.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you see that? Yeah. Go back and read it. He reconciled us, and God was not imputing the sins of those he reconciled back yonder.
That's right.
That's what the book teaches. So again, I say this reconciliation wrought in Christ's death is the grounds of no imputation of sins. Faith receives that wrought reconciliation. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus. And remember, it's through our Lord, not through free will.
That's
right. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. You, without me, you can do nothing. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received.
Yeah.
You actually reach out there, Joe, and by faith lay hold of it.
Yes, sir.
And more importantly, you lay hold of him.
Amen.
You lay. Remember what I said last week? A faith that is not of Christ and does not have Christ as its center is not just not of great value. It's damning. Millions of people will perish with a faith that's not of Christ and doesn't have Christ as its center. They will say, Lord, Lord, have we not?
Exactly.
They really believe something, Mason.
Oh, yeah.
But they believe the wrong thing.
Exactly.
They believe the wrong person. They believe the wrong gospel, which Paul says isn't even another gospel, but is a perversion of the gospel of Christ. You see, it is not that Christ made reconciliation possible. Any man ever says that, you know that man don't really know it.
That's right.
It's not that Christ made reconciliation possible and then a human act of faith makes it valid. That's a lie.
Amen.
Even if they use the word faith, even if they say God-given faith. God-given faith doesn't validate reconciliation. It receives it. Do you see it? It receives it. Christ who died, here's the glory. The Christ who died to reconcile lives to see that it's received.
Amen.
Isn't that a glory?
Yes, sir.
And as Hebrews would put it, the writer of Hebrews, which I believe was Paul, but whether even if I'm wrong about that, puts it this way about a wheel. You know, someone writes up a wheel and we have a lawyer there put a stamp on it or whoever, however they do it. And you pay some money and make this thing all legal, Matt. In other words, here, when I die, here's what I want to happen.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's right.
And you die to validate that wheel. No, when you die, that's when the will comes into force.
Exactly.
Because before you die, the person who he can change it, she can change it all they want.
Oh yeah,
as long as they go through the proper channel. But when you die, you validate the will. But the thing about that is, when you die, you're not around to make sure the will's carried out.
Exactly.
You're trusting the people who are left behind to make sure everything goes like it goes. But Christ ain't like that.
Right.
He died to validate the will.
But
he lives to see that the will is carried out.
Amen.
Isn't that a glory? And he's not just up there kind of prodding, by whom we have received the reconciliation.
Amen.
You see? Now do you see the essentiality and the benefit of faith?
Sir.
That's how essential it is. That's the great benefit.
Yes,
but
sir.
Remember, do not base God's love for you on your circumstances.
That's right.
Base God's love for you on the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he did that for us when we were enemies. When we were sinners. When we were ungodly. When we were unbelievers. And then his love, Joe, rushed forth in a sovereign breathing of spiritual life into us. And he sends the gospel in its sweet melody and its information, and it floods the soul and conquers the heart and mind where that person receives Christ. I believe him. I rest in him. Do you see the essentiality and benefit of faith? Since God did that for us when we were enemies, how much more is he doing for us now that he's given us faith?
There you go.
It's easy to lose sight of that, ain't it?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Somebody said, but I'm so sick now. You're going to die one day, probably.
Right.
Unless Christ comes back, you're going to die something.
Yeah.
Either some kind of illness or some kind of accident. It will be one or the other.
Right.
I don't know that there is. Is there any other way to go? An illness or an accident? It's going to take us all. Unless we're one of those that will be remaining whenever Christ comes back. Since God did that for us when we were enemies, how much more is He doing for us now, having given us faith? Secondly, since the circumstances of, listen, since the circumstances of even my sin and my corruption and my enmity against God could not hinder God back then, how much less my trying circumstances now? Huh? He conquered all of that problem. And that's far more surmountable of a problem that is my sin, my corruption, my enmity than some trying circumstance.
Right? Yes, sir.
Sin is the one thing that separates all mankind from God.
Exactly.
Circumstances are just on the outside thing.
Yeah.
And He conquered sin. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, not just the Lord, but Jesus Christ our
Lord.
Amen. So again, since the circumstances of even my sin and my corruption and my enmity against God could not hinder God, how much less my trying circumstances, especially now. Especially now. And thirdly, Christ's reconciliation wrought for us guaranteed our reception of it.
Amen.
Never lose sight of that.
Yeah.
Now granted, He only reconciled some.
Right.
He didn't reconcile all of humanity. But everyone He reconciled will be saved.
Amen.
So when you sit down and fret and say, well, I just don't know if God's going to save that person. No, you're right. But you're trying to figure out what can't be figured out.
Exactly.
Know this. If Jesus Christ reconciled that person in His death, they will be saved by His life.
Amen.
He will bring, look where you were. Exactly. And God brought you out of it.
Yeah. That's right.
So when you look at them, don't despair.
Exactly.
Bow to God's sovereign will, yes, but don't despair. Because if they're one of God's sheep, they're going to come and they're going to follow Him. Will they not?
Yeah.
Huh? Again, I say, Christ's reconciliation wrought for us guaranteed the reception of it.
Amen.
Now, as you see that, remember that. Don't ever lose sight of those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses as we enter into what Paul then talks about in the next several verses.
Yeah.
He's established this truth.
Yes,
it's right here in black and white.
Yeah.
If Christ reconciled you in His death, He's going to save you by His life.
Exactly.
You're going to be saved from wrath. You're going to receive the reconciliation. It's going to happen. Now that's an established fact in black and white. Translated into English in our own language right here before us, is it not? So that, Mac, is a precedent established, even legally.
Yeah.
Everything else Paul says has to fall within the line of that precedent.
Yes, sir.
Does it not?
Yes, sir.
Either that or Paul's a liar.
Exactly.
And all of this is just a lie. The precedent He's established right here in these verses we looked at this morning, it must be upheld in the rest of the chapter, or the rest of the whole book for that matter. But in the rest of this chapter of what He says, the many's and the all's and all of this stuff.
Yes, sir.
The one man and the other man, the two men. That precedent must be maintained.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Or either Paul's a liar.
Exactly.
And his whole book's a lie.
Yeah, right.
One or the other. There is no other alternative. It's either free sovereign grace.
Yeah.
It's not free sovereign grace or free will. It's either free sovereign grace or there is no salvation.
Amen.
You hear what I said?
That's right.
It's not what we need to prove to people we're right and free willers are wrong. No, sir. Free will is a lie no matter what.
Amen.
Salvation's either by the free and sovereign grace of God or it's all just a lie.
Yeah, that's it.
Because that's what this book teaches. Christ died for a people. When He did, He reconciled them. And everyone He reconciled, He will save them.
Amen.
That's the gospel. Father, God, teach us from Your word. So much we don't know. And so many things we're wrong on, Lord. Lord, forgive us even of our presumptuous sins. Forgive us, Lord. But teach us by Your Spirit and through your word. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.